Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer, so let's bring her out. A star attraction, the one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
All right, we're through the AIDS crisis. Now,
thank God.
No, I might go back.
Shut up. You're so fucking lucky.
Oh, I know.
All right.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, Wigstock. How did that... It started... I remember it started... You moved it, right? Didn't you move it from to the pier or...
We did after it got so big that it couldn't be contained in Tompkins Square Park.
Right.
A lot of people say, oh, the old ones in Tompkins Square Park were better because, of course, it was right across the street from the pyramid. We used the pyramid as our dressing room, Pyramid Club. And then we moved it over to the West Side Piers. And by that point, it had gotten so big that... You know, the Debbie Harry's and I will never thank John Cameron Mitchell enough because he was doing a matinee and an evening show at West Beth right across the street.
Yeah.
And I begged him. I said, you know, you're the biggest thing in drag going right now.
Right.
If you can make it over there. And bless his heart, he did. Yeah. So
that's great.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
These are the bars that we used to go to. Uncle Charlie's, The Monster. That's still there,
I still
right?
DJ there on Sunday nights.
You
do? Disco classics from 6 to 10. It is a hoot.
I might have to. We should go.
It is so much fun.
It's 6 to 10 on Sundays at The Monster?
Uh-huh. And you know what I love about it? It's like all these, they're like, you know, GLAD, HRC. They're all like, oh, we have to be inclusive. And honey, we don't try to be inclusive at The Monster. We are inclusive.
Right.
So it's because it's like there is everything from trans people to every color, every age.
Away. You know, like I
remember. Some people would argue with that and say that there were door policies where blacks were frowned on, and there's things that we don't know because of our white privilege, and that's true.
Okay, but at the lesbo bars, forget it. And there's no lesbo bars. Remember, there was the Click Club.
There's one near my apartment at the Cubbyhole.
The Cubbyhole, the Click Club, but the Cubbyhole isn't even lesy anymore.
It's
like
what?
It's very mixed.
It's all mixed.
What
it's
kind
like
of
this
guy?
Whole acceptance thing has ruined everything.
There's all these gay guys that go there, and I'm like,
I know.
What? I mean, I guess there's nothing wrong with having lesbian friends, but I'm like, what kind
you know,
of gay
remember,
guy goes out to a bar knowing like in no way am I going to get laid here?
Well, I remember I went to Rutgers and there was a gay bar there, and I remember the first time I went and it was like, oh my, like a safe place. You know what I mean? Going into a gay bar for the first time as a gay is so like, oh my God, there's people like, you know.
It's your people.
Right. You know, it's such an, it's, they don't have that experience anymore.
It's pretty
well, a lot
it's exciting.
Because of the acceptance, and this is a good thing, a lot of young people say that they, I mean, gay bars are closing. Trust me, the big clubs, they're not open anymore. The big, the Monster is the biggest club with the Monster with the piano bar upstairs.
Right.
It's, you know, I mean, it's not like where you would take someone
to
impress
the
first
date.
Well, we go to
the duplex, exactly.
But that is the largest dance floor 7 days a week in New York
City.
Yes, and there's 5 Disney shows. New York is hopping if you're 5 years old. instead of.
I know, right?
I mean, it's.
Oh yeah.
It's,
oh,
but I don't think people feel the need to be together anymore. I think we've got this superficial contacts on social media where we feel, you know, like if we like someone's mom's death,
yeah.
You know, we like that.
Right.
Then it's like, you know, and that we're in contact with them. We're actually not.
Right.
And people are fronting, especially entertainers on Facebook, to make it look like, oh, I've got this gig here.
Right.
Oh, I've got this. In fact, they may well be a shut-in, and as someone who is not relationship-oriented and who lives, you know, alone, I'm kind of like, I reject this. I'm going out. I'm going to have a blast.
Right. It's...
Love it.
They don't do that. I know. It's really... It's really sad. That whole... What do you... All right. Well, I'll get to that.
Well, there was... I mean, when you went to... before gays were accepted... See, now they say we feel comfortable going to straight bars. And that's great. But, honey, please don't get too drunk and come on to that straight guy, because he's going to punch you in the face. And you're going to go to which community center?
Right.
LGBTQ.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Trump said LGBTQ. I thought it was LGBT. I'm like, wow.
Yeah,
is he more politically correct than I am?
Well,
because
they had it in the fucking prompter.
Isn't Q all of it?
No, this is my whole joke. No one fucking agrees or knows what the fucking... It's queer, it's questioning, you know, it's
quaint.
Ridiculous.
It's quaint.
It's
quaint.
Quesadilla. okay, so... Oh, I got a laugh from Patrick. Woo!
Quesadilla.
It's quesadilla.
You said quesadilla.
I said quesadilla.
Well, I say if you're questioning whether you're a member of, you know, my community, by all means, come to the Center for Counseling or HIV testing or whatever you need.
I love how they have a city MD right next to it.
Until you decide, can we not change the name to reflect somebody that doesn't even know they're in the community?
I know.
Yet.
So,
right.
You don't get. You're not in this. Okay.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
You're too young.
I'm not queer.
Okay.
Enough.
You didn't go through what we went through.
I'm not a millennial, and I did go through a lot. I checked myself into ex-gay therapy.
I know this. Hello.
Wow.
What the fuck am I?
Yes.
My father's a minister, also.
Oh wow. Okay. Well, you know, the other thing is, I don't think that young people realize is that to go into a gay club and hear, you know, to be able for the first time to queen out to Donna Summer or Diana Ross or Madonna or whoever, Whitney.
You know, I have to say,
I mean,
that
was like a safe space. They talk about Pulse,
right.
Orlando after the shooting. Oh, that's a safe place. Honey, that's not, it's a safe place, but we're abandoning them right and left all over the country. So,
were you at the Diana Ross concert in Central Park?
I was
when it started raining. And I remember she's like, go, because no one wanted to leave. She's like, you have to go. You have to leave. But she was, I love her. Okay, I'm just looking at my phone because Henry's driving. He's coming home for the holidays, and I have to get him a fucking car from the airport. Anyway, so he's going to call. Anyway, just warning. The club culture, I mean... Thank God for TV. The fact that we are visible now, you know, and it's much easier to come out. I mean, there's still horrible situations, of course.
Of course.
Because like I was saying to you in the beginning, like about this, you know, the South and how, but the hate also in the Northeast. I mean, Boston and... It was a different kind. I think the reason I was always freaked out about the South is because it was all about God and Jesus and stuff. And up here, it's not really religion. It's this shame, and you should be ashamed of yourself, and there's something wrong. I don't know.
It's typical for parents to feel that they've done something wrong if their child turns out gay. Plus, they're not going to have the grandkids often.
Well, not anymore. Now, I mean, my mother had grandkids, but I mean,
the gay people before there was marriage or ability to adopt, they were not going to. It was like the bloodline ends here.
And there's also the available gay child. Like it's like we were the ones at the time. We were always the ones to take care of the parents, and because they're gay, they don't have anything to do, they have no life, you know. It was, you know what I mean?
I don't think mine are counting on me too much.
okay, so when did Rue get really, like, you move, all right, so you move Wigstock from Tompkins Square Park to over by the Hudson River, right? The piers?
Yes, and Rue had taken off shortly before we left Tompkins Square, I guess 94 or something,
and supermodel. All right. Did you feel, were you like jealous? Were you happy? Was it a combo?
It, you know, it was interesting. I mean, of course, listen, Rue in Atlanta, I mean, I would work random jobs at everything from Popeyes to ice cream counters, whatever.
Right.
Rue would not work. He was a star, and a star does not work. So, I mean, you know, he would get a show occasionally, the show, but it was like, and it turns out he was right. He is a star. So, I mean.
So, do you think it was fake it till you make it, kind of?
Well, it was completely that, but he got good management in World of Wonder. And of course I was happy for a friend that, you know, because he'd put out records before that, you know, had not really done anything, but or that were on tiny labels, but with the I felt a slight betrayal. We were living together at the time. He moved out, stole our air conditioner, and also, I mean, I was, when I got to New York, I was like, I'm home.
Right.
This is the music.
Right.
This is the club culture.
These are my
this
people.
Is the underground. Yeah. And I think Rue's emphasis was always being as big as he could be, which, you know, I mean, Supermodel is a bubblegum dance record. And, you know, but it was about supermodels. It was timely. And so, you know, it took off. And then that led to talk shows and now Drag Race and, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
So. You've remained friends.
Yeah, I mean, we're not in constant contact. He hasn't lived in New York for ages, years.
But he's helped you. I mean,
He put me on Drag U, which was a spinoff of Drag Race, which was actually very interesting to me because I was on it for 3 years as the dean of drag. Now, the premise of the show was that we would find women who had lost their mojo. Maybe they had, you know, let their looks go or, you know, whatever. And it was, you know, later in life. Or maybe they you know, put up with a cheating man or for whatever. They just weren't paying attention to it. So Rue's own stylist at the time, Matthew Anderson, would whip these girls up and they would compete. And I have to tell you, it was, this is what the gay men do not realize. Women sacrifice everything. And I had I was often crying on the show. The show was not a hit like Drag Race because it wasn't bitchy.
Right.
You know, but I mean, seeing these women's story and what, giving their whole lives to kids, then some of them weren't even any damn good.
Right.
It was just like, no wonder you're busy running around taking them to whatever lessons and buying groceries and doing laundry.
And giving up your whole fucking life.
Yeah, and my sister, you know, I mean, I think her kid will be with her for the rest of her life.
No way.
Yeah.
How old is he or she?
22.
Is it a boy?
Girl. She has a boy that's 27 that moved back home. I mean, my sister is like read every parenting book, did everything she could to have, you know, activities planned from the minute they got up. You know, to be the most perfect mother. Sometimes it just backfires because you want to be the opposite of what your parents are.
Right. So are you close with your niece and nephew?
After Thanksgiving, I was informed that my niece was becoming a Catholic. And there's no Catholics in my family.
Excuse
so,
me? Wait,
yeah.
Wait.
This is
balance
one of these
you
little,
out.
This is one of these things that she just has an obsession over. So my sister let me know that she does not now approve of me, the gay uncle, because she is serious about this. And I was like, well, could you let her know that I don't approve of the international pedophile ring that she now worships
and also,
out of the blue?
Catholics, by the way, the majority of Catholics are pro-gay marriage. I don't know if you knew that. First of all,
The Catholics maybe, but I don't know if the church is.
No. But I'm saying Catholics.
I'm sorry.
Well,
that's terrible. I hope she comes out of it.
Fuck her.
But that's what I said. I said. I mean, I said.
She doesn't approve. Fuck you. You're 20 fucking two. Well, you're an idiot.
But you know, she latches onto these things as young people have their obsessions.
Right.
And at one point I went to do a gig in Philly that was quite late and I said, let me do a family thing.
Right.
So I had breakfast with them at 7 a.m. My sister is one of those queens of Yelp reviews.
Right, right, right.
So she found a place. Her whole family hated everything that they served. I had oatmeal. I loved it.
Right.
And, you know, the little girl, you know, said, tugged her daddy's arm and said, Daddy, would you support me if I was trans?
No way.
No, she had been, I knew that because she speaks with my mother every day, that she'd asked my mother this 2 years before that. And she had been dating a schoolmate who strapped down her boobs, slit her wrists, took every drug from alcohol to sniffing glue, and was just a mess. And before that, they'd watched some vampire show where one of the young vampire characters committed suicide. So they were all about suicide for a minute. And I'm like, you know what? You really do need to watch what kids are exposed to, especially considering the level, you know, of their development. It's different. So anyway, when she said that to her dad about, would you support me if I was trans? And I knew she'd been, you know, like clowning around with this. I was so tired. And I snapped at her and said, honey, if you're trans, you might want to cut off that long blonde ponytail and take off that pink fuzzy jacket. Because guess what? Not only are you not trans, you're not even a dyke.
Right.
And it turns
out
I'm
she's Catholic.
And now, and she had a gorgeous boyfriend. And I'm like, wow, okay.
Okay, there's some fucking shit going on there. If she's asking about being trans... And then
I have met some girly trans dudes, though, like very femmy.
Great.
But it could happen.
Listen, if she was trans, of course, I would fully support her. But I think that, like, the Catholicism, that was just like something she gets obsessed over at the minute. And, you know, I mean, listen, if trans issues had been out in the open when I was a kid, honey, I might be a complete woman by now.
Right.
I have no idea.
Right.
But I went to a friend's home, and her four-year-old son had on blue nail polish. And I thought, okay, I wonder if the kid said, Mommy, can I put on nail polish the way you do? Then I'm glad that she is such a mother to do something, you know, non-traditional and to support him.
Right.
But I kind of got the feeling that she'd been reading the New York Times and thought, ooh, I have to be the perfect mother and put the nail polish on him in case he goes that way. Just like my sister, sometimes you can read too many of these books, you know,
And then you
just
push
so you
it
know,
on
it's
them.
Okay. Yeah, she starts hooking them up with dates.
Hi, wouldn't you like to wear a dress to school today?
Well, I mean, as sweet as a moment as that might be, I think it was in the summer when I was there, so she wasn't. But when that kid goes to school and then they never let him live that down.
It
may be an embarrassment to him when he turns out to be straight. Who knows? I'm not going to tell other people how to raise their kids because I only look pregnant.
Leah Delaria said something similar about being trans, you know, and if it would have been, remember this before our interview?
Oh yeah.
She was like, yeah, I'm probably trans male, but this is like, so I've built my identity in this so much, and I just I don't give a fuck anymore. Like,
I thought that was interesting. Do you like having a penis, or you don't think about it?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I mean, you know, well, I don't know how many tales we should tell, but a lot of trans women don't actually get the bottom surgery.
Of course. Yeah.
Which, you know, translates to, you know,
trans,
a chick with a
translates,
dick. A chick, you know, I mean, that's just what it is. And, you know, there's a variety of reasons for that, you know, which I won't, you know, go into, but it's hard for people to accept, you know, that if they see someone like Candace Kane, who is beautiful with this gorgeous mane of red, you know, reddish blonde hair, and then they think, oh my God, the boobs, the legs, the hair, the face, the penis?
Right.
Stop thinking about my fucking junk so much.
I know, but I have a friend who is a post-operative transsexual. Apparently, you're not supposed to even say post-op because that refers to the part along the journey at which they are. And I'm like, we grew up calling them sex changes, and if you had the operation, you went on a journey and you finished it. That was nothing. That was not any. But she said, when they go on these talk shows and say, don't ask me at what point I am in my surgery, she said, that means one thing. She said,
they have
a dick.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So maybe it isn't anyone's business, but, you know, I mean, but if your press agent has gotten you onto that show as who is the very well spoken Janet Mock?
Yep,
right. Yeah.
Wonderful representative.
Right.
So, you know, just gorgeous, everything.
She's right.
Not that her looks should even matter, but
right.
She handles every question
yeah,
so
but
well.
We
she
all does, but her press love looks. I mean, this fucking society yes. here, it's all about the way you look. Yeah,
but
go
she
ahead.
She went on Pierce.
Morgan. I fucking
and,
hate him.
Well, I hate
He's
him.
He's a fucking asshole.
I hate
Fuck
him
you.
Too. But, yeah. but when your press agent says right. that you've written a book about changing your sex from male to female,
right.
and Pierce wants to get down to a question that right. you perceive as nitty gritty, that's what your press agent has put
right.
you as. That's what your book is
right,
as.
Right.
So are you here to tell about it or not?
Right.
I mean, of course you have the right to say, I don't feel comfortable saying that.
Right.
Which yeah. she did, but that kind of turned into like a weird,
I didn't
you
know
Twitter.
It was
not
about
coming
that.
From a good place, Pierce Morgan.
Well, I don't think so you either. Know? But other people do want to know, you know, that question.
Right.
So then they can stop focusing on it. It becomes less of a distraction for them.
It's hard for some people to understand because it's like, oh, we get it. Okay, there's trans people. You want to change your sex, but you don't want to fully change it. You know,
right.
that's hard
but
for you to understand.
But that's defining sex as your
gender.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Right.
So, wait. So, did you watch the Whitney Houston documentary?
I did not.
Can Be Me or Can I Be Me? Oh, my God. You have to see it.
Yeah. I
and there's,
to. I didn't
it's
know
all
that.
About, it's, oh, I just saw it. And so, there's one part, right, where she's Katie Couric is interviewing Whitney, right? And
yeah, remember that.
They're talking about
was
Robin, you know, who obviously, you know, they had a relationship, whatever. But this is like in the 80s or the early 90s, whatever. And I could, like, and I love Katie Couric. And I don't think she's homophobic or transphobic or anything, but I, in this portion that they show in the movie, it's like you can tell she's grilling Whitney about Robin in sort of this, and what about Robin? And blah, 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 blah.
Oh,
you know, like
annoying.
That sort of, but that was what was the way it was.
That
you
was
know?
The way it was, but to have a gospel singing mama, Sissy Houston,
right.
who in interviews I've it seems so mean. And
well, did you? Well, they have one interview after they're dead, after Whitney's dead.
Oh,
and
I know.
She
and
says,
they said the brother and all of them were smoking crack. And
no,
it was
but
like,
but they had. She was interviewed by Oprah, and Oprah said, "Would you have been upset at knowing that, you know, if Whitney was gay?" And she said, "Absolutely." It's like your daughter's fucking dead.
No.
Yeah,
you know.
But
she does come off cunty.
But that's the gospel.
Right.
You know, thing.
It's
you know?
It's like, that's what I can't stand about religion. Hey, everyone. I have a new sponsor, and I love them. They're called OneSkin. OneSkin. And what is OneSkin? It is skincare. Skincare that is simple. I guess that's the perfect word. It's simple. It you don't have to put on 18,000 products while you're like dying to get in bed. OneSkin was founded by four PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. And this stuff proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their supplements, they're topical, and they make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without putting all that other shit, I said shit, on your face. And the secret of OneSkin is their OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent, did you like that? Senescent cells, those little cells that contribute to skin aging. And the fewer amount of cells that they're called zombie cells, that means healthier, younger looking skin, fewer wrinkles, fewer lines, reduced age spots, natural barrier. And that is very important, especially now it's spring and summer and you're going to be out in the sun. So, you know, you love your skin, so do something for it. Return it the favor of having skin and treat it nicely. Does that make sense? Well, so I'm very excited about OneSkin and I haven't gotten my product yet, but I am really, really, really looking forward. So I'm going to be giving you an update on my skin, but you should do it with me. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code
Judy Gold, JudyGold, when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co. And it's oneskin.co. You really, really need to invest in your skin. It's very important. So OneSkin, you're going to do this today. You're going to go to oneskin.co. It is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code JudyGold at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JudyGold. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. You're welcome.
So you do a lot of shows. I mean, you're like me. You've done nothing. I mean, I've done nothing but stand up since I'm since I'm 19 years old, 20 years, you know. And someone recently said to me, a civilian person said, "Well, what's the retirement age for a comedian?" I'm like, "What the fuck? Hello?"
When they stop laughing.
Yeah. George Burns, hello. Joan Rivers.
Well, I have a drag queen friend who's a little bit older than me. Right. And she said, "You know, my husband's retiring." I was like, "No, baby.
Yeah.
You don't create something that's that magic and then take it away.
Right.
If you can still, the heels might be a little bit lower, like Cher's and Diana Ross's are on there too. But honey, you get out there and you give it to them."
Don't you think there's something in the fact that, you know, because we're the same age, that here you are, you've been Lady Bunny for all these years, and, you know, we're growing old and not hiding it and not trying to be young and sort of being aging Lady Bunny, aging graceful. Like, I think that is, I mean, you could be the voice or the poster of, you know, aging.
Old drag queen.
Yeah. But not old drag queen. Not
RuPaul
in that.
RuPaul is 1 year older.
You're different. You know what I mean?
Because
RuPaul's
successful.
No. I mean, because RuPaul's so, it's like me. I'm a club comic. I'm someone who goes to these theaters and clubs, and I am that basic stand-up comic.
You're a comics comic, and you are a drag queen's drag queen.
Right.
And you both are successful in the mainstream as well and known. You know, maybe
but not as much as we want to be.
But no, but we entered this business knowing that there were no guarantees. And you know, we're still working. And I'll tell you something related to the AIDS thing. When you assume for decades that you have it, honey, you ain't worried about saving money.
Right.
You're not worried about, you know, your retirement fund or whatever. So finally, when that 401 K and the housing market, you know, collapsed, I was kind of like, welcome to my world.
Right. People don't get it. And it's not, you know, like sometimes Elisa, my girlfriend, will say, you know, I'll be like, oh my God, because you have months that are so bad and then you have months that are great. And you know, don't spend the great month money, you know, don't do it. And maybe I'll buy a pair of boots or maybe I'll buy one little thing. So like the last month, I was like, I can't take it anymore. Because sometimes it gets so annoying. It's just like, I just want to have enough money so I never have to think about money again. You know what I mean? Like, not to be a billionaire. Well, no, but I don't want
but
that
But you would
burden.
Also be bored out of your mind if you didn't have to get out there and work and get shit off your chest and whine about your Metro cards and all of it. You know,
that's
you.
True. I'm so fucking, you know, because people say, what happened to this comic? You know, this person used to be so funny. I think after you stop living in the world that everyone else lives in as a comic, you're not funny anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You isolate yourself.
Well, no, it's just that you're not lit. Yeah. Well, sort of in a way. But I'm saying, you know, you don't have the same problems as us. You can't relate to us. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm so sorry you're fucking, you know, Rolls Royce, whatever.
John Mayer.
But it's like, how do you feel? Like, I feel like I don't have a lot of people I can talk to about this. Like, here we are. I mean, I still love what I do. Like, yeah. I still go out 4 or 5 nights a week. I go down to the cell. I am being on stage, doing stand-up, being in that. Like, I don't think people realize, for you, when you say the clubs are closing, that is like a major loss.
Because the budgets are way down. If it's a club that holds 800 and now there's bars that hold 150, right, you're not going to get paid as much.
I remember in the 90s how much fucking money we made. I mean, there's no money anymore for this shit.
Well, you know, what's happened with the club world is that there are these destination events.
Right.
Now, whether they are cruises or a white party,
right,
or a gay pride event or,
right,
something, or a drag race launch or whatever. Right. So they're packaging, you know, the drag race queens. And because I was involved in Drag U, thank you, Rue.
Right.
You know, I'm kind of, and they mentioned me on the hit show Drag Race, I'm kind of luckily lumped in,
right,
to them. So I'm the old cow that does comedy.
Right.
You know, so it's like,
right,
so, you know, that, now on these tours, yeah, you know, that I've never until a couple months ago taken one of those tours where you actually ride those buses with coffins.
Oh, yes,
that you sleep,
yes,
in.
Yes,
I've never,
yes,
done that. And it's, and then you arrive at
screaming
the theater,
yeah,
it from that coffin, and then at the end of the night you leave and get back on that bus.
Right. Mm.
And I mean, it's, and I mean, sometimes they would get us like day rooms just so we could, at a nearby hotel across the street, so we could have a place to, like,
right,
chill out. But showering in the theater and leaving, arriving,
yeah,
at the theater,
yeah,
it's just like, oh, you want to get away from the other, you know, people. But that's what it's turned into. So it's like, it's very, these destination events,
right,
it's like, oh, let's get a costumes for this cruise. It's the opposite of, you want to stop by the get a drink after work? It's dressing,
right,
up, it's committing, it's buying a ticket, it's flying somewhere.
Right.
That's what's replaced.
Right. I know.
Shows.
Exactly. All right, we're having to call Henry. Wait.
Hi.
Hi, what's up?
I got my final grades.
Oh, wait, you're on the podcast. Do you want to announce them on my podcast?
Sure, I don't care.
All right, go ahead.
Drum roll, please.
I got a 77.7, an 86.5, a 90.9, a 91.8, and a 93.2.
Yeah.
That's good, except for the, I'm going to be Ruth Gold right now. What's the 77?
Sportscasting.
But Henry, that's all you fucking do is watch sports. What happened?
Too easy for him.
Talking into the camera.
Oh,
God.
Oh, I wonder who could coach you with that.
Yeah. I'm not happy with the 77. What was the 86?
86.5 is intro to design and production.
Nice.
What did you get? Oh, that's the one you took yesterday, right?
Yeah, I got a 77 on the exam, which is bad. I thought I was going to get an A in the class, but I studied for the exam and I don't know what happened.
It's called smoking pot all the time. All right. So, what's your GPA this semester?
I don't know. I have to go do it.
Where are you? Do you need a car from the airport?
I'm on 125th and 2nd.
Oh, all right. Are you going to Mama's?
Yeah, but...
All right, I'll...
Get food after your podcast.
What?
Want to get food after your podcast?
Oh, maybe, yeah. All right, that's a good idea.
All right.
I'll call you when I'm done.
Okay.
All right, bye. Love you.
Yeah, you too.
Bye. Now, Henry... That's my 21-year-old.
Sounds like a nice young man.
He's great.
He is.
When I worked in P-Town, I mean, I still work in P-Town. I bought a house.
I saw you there.
Yes. Okay. So I have a house I bought in 94, and I've always worked there. And that, where do you work there?
I would really go and hang out with Jimmy James at his height.
Right.
Because Jimmy and Bubba, do you know Bubba?
I worked with Jimmy at Sage this past summer, and he was coming up to me going, "It's so hard. I don't have Bubba anymore. I don't have Bubba."
Well, he doesn't always like what Bubba,
yeah,
says when he,
right,
he doesn't always like to hear it. But
right,
anyway, I would go, Jimmy. I benefited from Jimmy's largesse.
Right.
My act wasn't really as fully developed,
right,
as it is now. So I was just kind of like a hanger on. But
right,
that, when Jimmy was ruling province town and could do the Marilyn Monroe impersonation. And then, I mean, it was just, it was gobsmacking.
Right. I know. Jimmy, I told him, I said, Jimmy, you have a great voice. You know, you need to, I told him, you need to write a show about your life. Yeah, no. But then I talked to him and I'm like, I don't know if he can actually sit down and do the, I mean, it's so much work, you know, or.
Well, he has been putting together the Marilyn snippets and like unarchiving the talk shows, Sally, Jesse, Raphael, Phil Donahue, because he was everywhere.
Yeah, he was.
And Jimmy was one of the top cabaret acts of that time. We didn't have cell phones back then, so it's not, you know, you have to unarchive these video things, but he and I are still very close.
I love
and,
Jimmy.
And, you know, the interesting thing is that, well, obviously he got, you know, heavier over the years as I did too. And, you know, he's a Marilyn purist. He does not want to do Marilyn, you know.
Unless he has the body.
Right. And I mean, I said, bitch, you still got the face.
Right.
Put that face out from the curtain and hide the body and say, I can't sing it. A kiss on the hand may be quite continental, the curtains open and it's him, you know, profile with that gut saying, but cookies are a girl's best friend and just have fun with that. You know,
that's like, a great idea.
He will never disrespect Marilyn that way. But his other voices are incredible.
Yes. Oh my God. So Henry is my older son. And when I was working at the post office, Varla Jean would go on after me. And most of the time I was on stage, she was backstage putting on her tits and everything. And Henry used to come and watch her. Like, my kids and drag queens, like, Henry knows all the rules. Like, don't ever call them by their male name, you know, and he would be like, you know, walking down the street in P-Town. And when Varla was not Varla, be like, hey, Varla, like, just on purpose to just, and it was so funny. But, like, here's two kids who have no, they see a drag queen, normal. You know,
yeah, that's great.
Gay, normal, trans, normal, like, could give a fuck. I mean, that's the way the fucking world should be. You know what I mean?
There are some people, you know, like Lip Synca, who prefers to be John Epperson and will perform as John Epperson.
Right.
And, you know, while I respect that, I'm like, honey, if I ever told anybody to call me by my real name when I wasn't a drag, they would see me and yell down the street, Miss Lady Bunny Girl, what's going on, girl? I mean, you know, I'm just not that precious, you know, I don't take myself that seriously.
What do you think gay culture is today? Like, what do you think defines gay culture now?
Well, I'm glad that we are more accepted and have more equality and can do things like fight in the military or, you know, if that's your cup of tea, or get married. Neither are my cup of tea.
Right.
But we have when we didn't have the rights, our culture was superior.
I say that in my act. I'm like, oh my God, it was so much better when we were marginalized.
But I mean, you know, when you get a certain age, you're always going to be like, oh, back in my day. And that's just doing it. But I spoke to a queen. I'd never met her after I finished my DJ gig at the Monster this Sunday. And I said, so what are you up to tonight? She said, oh, there's this competition over at Stonewall. And then there's a competition here later, you know, and then there's some other thing at Pieces. And I was like, what do I not understand about? There's an oversaturation of RuPaul's Drag Race to where it's all anybody ever wants to talk about.
Right.
And so the clubs are copying reality
TV.
I mean, to me, as someone who was like, I mean, the DJs that made the hits that danced to all over the world were living in New York. And I mean, to go out and see Little Louis Vega or Frankie Knuckles or, you know, one of those things, I mean, that was our own culture. We never watched TV throughout the whole, you know, 80s and 90s. Maybe The Nanny.
Right. I just worked with her too. It's interesting because I read that, you know, you said that people, like music people, would come to gay clubs to see what records, like when you were DJing and they would come and say, oh, what?
Maybe not when I was DJing.
Right.
But, in the height of the gay
right.
discotheques, yes, the gays were known for their superior taste.
Right.
We wanted to hear the vocalist like Martha Wash.
Right.
We did not care if some, back then, if you look good, Britney Spears,
right.
in a bare midriff, but could not sing
right.
a note.
Right.
We gravitated towards what we heard.
Talent.
In
yeah.
our talent. And I mean, so to see... You know, I mean, first of all, maybe the gay bars are closing because all they do is play top 40. In
right, right, right. It's really, don't you want to go back a little bit?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the culture back then was uniquely
gay. It was
gay.
Culture. And like, what do you, there's no culture. It's not a culture.
It's just the same as straights yeah. listen to. So yeah. we got the equality, but can we please have our
I know. Can we, back? I know. It's like, I don't know.
Black people are like, ugh, welcome.
VP. So, VP means voice probation. That means that Hennessy's not allowed. Okay, so there's two questions we ask all our guests. By the way, I find you fascinating, and I love you. I think you're great. And I miss our old times of... You know, even that feeling, you know,
well,
I don't know.
People are always saying, oh, bring Wigstock back. And we did
right.
do a couple of Wigstock themed cruises. But the other thing is, I can't bring back the past. And,
yeah.
and I can't bring back a time when we were in our 20s and we needed to flail our body
right.
to the beat, you know, without, you know, having a bad knee or,
right.
or whatever. So I'm really glad that I did
right.
it when it was hopping, but it's not quite the same. Although Brooklyn, I will say, is funkier. And I have done
right.
a few gigs out there on like Saturdays and, you know, driving home. I'm one of those Manhattan snobs that is like, I didn't come from Chattanooga to
right.
live in Brooklyn.
Right.
So, you know, I watch that with interest.
Right.
You know, but it does seem like they have a neighborhoody feel out there, which New York's Manhattan is becoming
right.
a bit too. I mean, I'm even seeing Starbucks on side streets, not just avenues.
Right, right,
and
right.
It's like,
oh, banks. How many fucking banks? I can't take it. Okay. So what are you doing on your computer?
Writing notes.
Oh. We ask
banks.
Our...
I can't take fucking banks. Go ahead.
That's funny.
VP.
I can't take it. I really can't.
The funny part.
How many fucking
VP.
Banks do you need? I mean, seriously, no one fucking does any. Like, I do it on my phone.
That's
I
true.
Fuck.
I get a letter from Citigroup once a week for 30 years.
Right. Bye now. What we ask two questions always to our guests. First one. I don't know. What the answer to the first one is.
That's why you're supposed to ask me.
I know. We always guess first. I don't think so.
I don't think
so. You seem very emotionally together for some reason. Good parents. Have you ever, or are you on antidepressants? Ever been or are you?
Oh, I was on Lexapro for 3 years.
Ah, fuck! Really? And...
Well,
yay.
Actually, it was funny because
we're very pro mental health and yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was seeing, you know, like a therapist and she recommended that I go to a psychiatrist who
right.
could prescribe drugs. I don't suffer from depression as much as anxiety. Like
yes.
the mountain is a molehill.
Right.
Or the opposite.
And the hypochondria is, yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Like the zit is a tumor. Yeah.
Exactly. So, they put me on it, and I started it when I was going to do a DJ gig in Paris because they said it could have suicidal tendencies. And I was literally like on the second day on it, and I was looking out from my friend's apartment into the Seine River, and
yeah.
I was thinking, are you going insane
right.
and going to jump out of this fifth
right.
floor into the Seine
right.
are you, because of these pills? I mean, I just didn't
right.
know, but... In the end, I noticed they made me cheerier and that people would catch that on the street and smile at me more often. So it was definitely something that I was giving off.
Right.
You know, now I try to do that now, too, now that I'm not on them, because people do. I saw something on the Huffington Post. I thought, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Some health, self-help thing. And it said, if you smile, it can banish the blues, the very physical act.
Oh, no, I learned that in therapy. Yeah. There is a thing in cognitive behavioral therapy called the half smile. And seriously, and I do it because I went through a very bad depression, where you lift the corner of your mouth and you can feel, I'm not kidding.
I see you do this often. It's
you
just,
go like this.
It you just do changes. That after you tell it, a really like
I thought that was
joke.
So ridiculous when I read it. But it
changes your body. I swear to God.
Well, it reminds you of what a body that is not upset is doing.
Meanwhile, you're like, oh, and everyone's nice. Meanwhile, I'm on the subway today going, fucking goddamn fucking Metro card.
I took the Lexapro and it made me first of all, I went to do drag you in LA. I am not a fan of reality TV.
Right.
I didn't know how that was going to work out for me. And so I packed the bottle that had 3 or 4 Lexapro pills in it. And leaving the full one home.
I thought,
what am I going to do? I'm going to be on my friend Rue's show. I'm going to be melting down.
Right.
I'm going to be having fits. Blacklisted forever.
Right.
So I was just like taking a crumble per day. And then a friend happened to have like 2 or 3.
Right.
So when I got back, the psychiatrist said, well, you actually weaned yourself off of it. I said, you know what? I really don't want to be on it because it made me gain weight.
Oh, my God. You're tired, too.
Well, because I didn't sleep, and then you have no libido, so I'm like, I'm so fat, nobody wants to fuck me.
Right.
I don't want to fuck them, and I'm bitter because I'm not sleeping, but I'm smiling.
Right.
So I don't want a happy pill.
Right.
So, but that doesn't mean that I don't suffer from, you know, anxiety. And she just said, you know, honestly, it's really just better to put you on Valium so that when you're having one of your moments.
Yeah, Band-Aid.
There you go.
I'm getting off this Paxil now because I gained so much weight, and now that has given me sleep apnea, which now
I have that too.
It's horrible because they
give
say
you the
you
machine.
Can't. Yeah, it doesn't work.
Oh, I can't stand it. It's
first
hot.
Of all, your whole mouth gets so dry. Like I was like, I couldn't even fucking. I can't.
Oh, it's awful.
So I have the machine, but I don't want it. I have to give it away. But it's also I'm like so uncomfortable because I'm not used to being 35 pounds overweight. All right. What pisses you off, like makes you so, you see, you're very even and happy and you have a natural smile on your face anyway. Like you're like, you do give off positive.
You have a radiant energy about
you.
Yeah,
you really do. Even though you're sick.
Only in interviews. Ask my parents and my sister how sweet I am.
Yeah.
Well, they seem
what
to love
pisses
you, a
lot. You, like what makes you fucking crazy, like we're gonna fucking kill someone.
Well, it makes me crazy to hear the news constantly going on about Trump's latest outrages.
Right.
Because this is someone who mocked a reporter with disability, called Carly Fiorina ugly, questioned John McCain's war record, said Mexicans are rapists, said, you know, he's gonna ban, you know, Muslims and all this. So he's a jackass.
Right.
And you give a jackass a Twitter account and a microphone, and they're going to spout off. And they're going to spout shit.
Right.
I went to Europe for a couple weeks. They were talking about how, after he was elected, they were talking about how he said that the Obama had bugged him in Trump Tower.
Right.
Every report said they have no proof of this.
And he
he's
didn't
not
do it.
And he's not trying to string Michelle and Obama up. So I'm like, I get back 2 weeks later and they are still talking about this. Listen, the left is making a big mistake.
Yes.
I'm from a family of Democrats, lifelong Democrat.
Right.
You know, there you do not sit with your jaw on the ground every time that fool dominates. That we are losing at his game.
Right.
He's keeping the ball in his court every time he says Pocahontas, you know, or anything like that. I need to know, why is the left not examining themselves to see why they lost to a nut job who has never held elected office, never insulted everyone?
I
mean, it's not just Russia.
Right. I do think some people are, I think it goes back to what we were talking about before, too.
Hating women?
About, here, this is my theory. I mean, I have so many theories, but I do think it's about, first of all, Hillary was the most qualified person ever to become a nominee for the president. I mean, she's qualified, you know? And yet people hated her. They hated her past. They hated that she stood by Bill. And it's
that was what my mother mentioned. You know, when I first mentioned the election, she said, "I don't like the way that she, you know, shamed those women that, you know, her husband cheated on." And I was like, "Well," I said, "but mom, that doesn't affect how much money you're going to have left over after insurance. That's not a policy that she's pushing. Right. That's something that she did
but
in her past.
But what about what he did in his fucking past? Like, so gold to my ear.
But they look over that,
right?
Because they've
he
passed
has a cock."
No, yes. Not just that.
Yes.
Some of it is that. And some of it is racism.
Right.
And some of it is anti-immigrant thing.
People hate women. I do think people hate women. So Golda Meir used to say, she said, there'll be peace in the Middle East when the people who hate Israel and the Jews love their children more than they hate us. Mm-hmm. Right? And I feel like with this election, if they love their country more than they hated Hillary, or if they, you know, it was the hatred towards her and the Clintons. I can't, like, the fact that you would put us in, like, the other thing that fucking pisses me off, like, when you say it, is that all these people, like, right, when he says Pocahontas, and then they go, he said Pocahontas, he's the, you know. And they normalize this shit.
But do you know? That's a word that bugs me, is the normalized thing,
right?
Because it's like, you know, a lot of my friends are like saying, "I'm not going to say his name. I'm
right.
going to put a black profile picture." And I'm like, "Now, darling, this is what Democrats need to do:
is
autopsy
right.
them, their own party
right.
because he normalized himself when he won. Did he win with help from Russia? Did he win mm-hmm. with help from misogyny? Did he win? Yes. Tribalism,
right.
you know, racism, whatever." Yes, he did. But I also don't think we were looking at how Americans are doing. And if after the recession, I mean, Obamacare is not affordable.
Right.
And if seniors are splitting their medications so that they can make them last, you know,
right.
longer. I mean, Jesus Christ, in West Virginia, they to create jobs, they tried to open an opioid treatment center,
right.
and they couldn't find to give jobs. No one was clean enough to even
right.
work there. I mean, these are huge, huge problems, even outside, what is it? That was the biggest problem in the primary discussion about what New Hampshire.
Right.
Heroin and opioids.
Right.
So, I mean, I think we kind of sat around and said, you know, because it became an internet meme. Oh, blame the black guy anytime
right.
that there was something wrong. There were some things that Obama was to blame for.
Right.
And even though Hillary was capable, there are a lot of flip-flops in
right.
her past. I mean, having
but
such
not,
a record.
Right. But he is an awful human being.
But this was a race about
right.
outsiders.
Right.
Bernie Sanders, who is an insider, he's been a
right.
senator for decades, was able to paint himself
right.
as we need a revolution,
right.
you know, kind of thing. So outsider. Trump is an outsider.
Right.
We can't forget that people already despised Congress.
Right.
They despise Congress because I don't think rational Republicans, of which there are some,
right?
You know, I don't think that they, I don't think that they liked the Republican
right.
government shutting everything down
right.
under Obama. But listen, this is another thing that it's heavy. But Obama, Bill Clinton, a Democrat, pushed the NAFTA trade
right.
agreement, which killed 1 million manufacturing jobs. In these little places where Trump won, there was a factory,
right.
that was a lifestyle. You went there,
right.
you could remember.
Oh, yeah,
so
absolutely.
To see,
I remember that. Yeah.
So to see, and 1 million jobs were killed as a result of that,
right.
and factories were outsourced. So to see Obama at the end of his term, obviously cozying up to corporations to push the TPP Trans-Pacific trade agreement when Sanders, Clinton, and Trump were all against
right.
it. This is a Democrat, Obama, you know, catering to corporate interest rather than creating the jobs he said he was
right.
you know, going
I mean,
to
it
do.
It is about jobs, but
Because I think that we're less likely to turn on the immigrants or turn on the Muslim if the wolf is away from our door.
Right.
Right.
Very smart, Bunny.
Yeah, that was really.
I love you.
Yeah,
well,
me too.
I mean, listen, we are so divided. I mean, we've got far from talking about what words we should use. We need to have some tough discussions.
You're not kidding.
Because we all come from different backgrounds and we all have different things.
I didn't do this for Bernie Sanders. All right, go ahead.
We can't be tiptoeing on eggshells about words. If you think that someone is a welfare queen, I want to hear what you have to say. And I believe in big government. I believe in subsidies for people who are trans or for, you know, whatever. But we've got to have those discussions and see, do we meet anywhere?
Right.
I'm as lefty as they come.
Yeah.
But when I see liberals freaking out and they say, oh, well, they want the Republicans want mandatory drug testing before you get any, you know, welfare. And I'm like, I don't think that's so cruel.
Right.
I mean, if you don't have any money and you want to make, you know, money that's just part of my tax dollars, then I don't think that you should have money to buy party drugs.
Right. I see your point.
There are some things, you know, where we never have a real honest conversation about immigration.
I know, that's true.
And it's
too.
So complicated.
Right, it is
And
complicated.
We've got to get away from the news media, which pushed the email scandal and the pussy grabbing over policies.
Right.
The New York Times said 80% of the electorate was, quote, disgusted 2 weeks before the election. We cannot disgust people and expect them to turn out and vote and feel that there's.
But you also, I mean, those debates with him, he didn't answer a fuck. He didn't know what the fuck he was talking about. He was, I mean, the fact that he could sit there and mock people through the debate instead of talking policy.
Okay, but I'm going to tell you, I was worried about Chris Christie getting the Republican nomination.
Oh, yeah, that's
And here's
that
why.
Fuck. I hate that fucking fuck face.
Okay, well, I do too. But he was reelected after Bridgegate, where out of spite, he shut down a bridge going to a town whose Democratic mayor, was it, did not support him.
Right. Hoboken.
Okay.
Yep.
This is something that I learned from that, and this is why I feared Chris Christie winning, and has something to do with Trump. People sometimes like a strong viewpoint, even if it's an asshole.
Right. They like
because
someone
that's seen
who's,
as
yes,
the opposite
absolutely.
Of a flip-flopper. And, you know, even a lot of people of color felt, oh, Obama will be our savior. They didn't show up to vote because they didn't feel that the Democratic Party, that the hope and change didn't really arrive for them.
Hopey and change. Yes.
So, I mean, it's...
Ooh, I know.
I go and I take these.
You're good.
No, I love to talk to everyone from Muslim cab drivers to evangelical, you know, people we've got to hash this out. And the
have to admit, these fucking evangelicals for Roy Moore, for a fucking pedophile, like you have no, how dare you? You hate gays, but you'll have some guy who fucking diddles 14-year-olds?
But baby,
fuck him.
Baby, the evangelicals are for Trump. They forwarded around a video, which I saw, of rabbi, priest, one from Africa, one from Hispanic. They're all doing jazz hands around him in praise.
Right.
So to my relatives, you know, I asked my Aunt Carolyn, I said, you know, Mom said that you were interested in Bernie Sanders. And she said, yeah, well, we thought he was real honest. And then she said, but we voted for Trump. No shame in her voice whatsoever. I said, well, you're very religious, Aunt Carolyn. How did the pussy grabbing jive with your religious beliefs? And she said, well, we like Mike Pence, changing the subject. And, you know, because the pussy grabbing thing was so shocking to women, I asked a lot of my female friends, including a few trans women, you know, one of whom said, yeah, I worried about sexual predators when I was 20 pounds thinner. Right. We like honesty. But, you know, they all said to me, every woman has a story. story. They do not talk about it. Sometimes it can be related to PTSD. Sometimes it can happen so young that their budding sexuality is like, on one level, it feels good, but they're shame because they know that it's wrong because it is a relative. So this is why I think that this watershed, you know, moment for, you know, women is so important because we're seeing the depth of, you know, and we're seeing the Charlie Roses who we can't even believe. And, you know, but it just proves how pervasive this is.
It yeah,
is.
We need to look at the bigger. Also, Bunny has DJing 6 to 10 at the Monster every Sunday night. So check that out.
I want to go. I'm going. We're
not going. The last Sunday. That's Robin Bird's night.
Not really?
Yeah, she hosted on the last Sunday.
Wow, I love that.
I love her.
Bunny, I can't thank you. I could talk to you all day and night.
It's true.
Thank you for. I mean,
it was my pleasure. I could talk to you all night. Happy holidays, everyone.
Thank you. And as we always say, so long.
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.